welcome to Better Yet. I'm Tim Crisp, your host. Better Yet is a conversation that started in 2016, and it's a conversation that continues this week with my guest, Rachel Gagliardi of Pouty. Pouty released Forgot About Me in February on Get Better Records. Rachel and I had a great conversation that we're excited to share with you this week. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for subscribing on your podcast player of choice. Visit our website, betteryetpod.com, and check out our YouTube page, youtube.com/@betteryetpod. How are we doing today? I'm drinking that Dagger Mountain coffee. DaggerMountain.com. Follow them on Instagram at DaggerMTNCoffee. My favorite coffee roaster in the U.S. of A. Right here in Valparaiso, Indiana, the home of Better Yet since October of 2020. I'm drinking a wonderful Isabi Mountain from Rwanda, tasting notes of black cherry, peach, and matcha. Visit DaggerMountain.com and get yourself a bag today. How we doing, Bubbas? Excited to have Rachel Gagliardi on the podcast. Thrilled to be back in the swing of things over here on Better Yet. We post episodes every other Wednesday. Our spring lineup is cooking. Thank you so much for tuning in. Still feeling that big hole in my heart after losing Steve Albini last week. Want to say thanks to all the people who reached out about our interview from 2019. We reposted that on the podcast feed on Friday. I listened to it again on Friday while I was doing some yard work and just felt so much gratitude for the time and wisdom that Steve shared with me during that interview. Check it out if you haven't listened already or you feel like listening again. I've been listening to a lot of my favorite Albini productions this week. Wedding Presents, Sea Monsters, Meat Waves, The Incessant. Thinking so much about my dude Chris Sutter and that Palace Brothers record that Steve engineered. Viva Las Blues. So much magic. And speaking of magic, my guest this week is Rachel Gagliardi of Pouty. Rachel is a musician from Philadelphia, now living in Ojai, California. Rachel first came under my radar with her great, great, great band, Slut Ever. Wonderful, sloppy, lo-fi, two-piece. Rachel started Pouty as a solo project when Slut Ever was still active. She released her first LP, or her first EP, Take Me to Honey Island, in 2016. She spent a brief period of time playing an upset with Hole's Patti Chimmel and Vivian Girl's Ali Kohler. She became a mom and finally circled back around to Pouty and made her first LP, Forgot About Me, with our friends Chris Buglivo and Evan Bernard of the Super Weeks. Forgot About Me is packed with killer power pop songs like Big Stage and a love letter to California called TV on TV. Also put some of Rachel's songwriter chops on display with songs like Bridge Burner and Underwear. It's a great record. I was really excited to talk to Rachel. We've got a lot of homies in common. We got along so great. I'm excited to share this interview with you. Check out Forgot About Me on Bandcamp, poutyofficial.bandcamp.com. Thank you for listening to Better Yet. We will be back in 2 weeks. For now, here's me and Rachel Gagliardi. So you met Evan at college. You went to college in Philly.
Yes. I'm from Philly, born in Philly.
Okay.
Raised in the suburbs and then went back to Philly for college. And then I've been in California probably decade plus.
Yeah.
I strongly identify with both East and West Coast.
So what suburbs of Philly did you grow up in?
Bucks County,
okay.
Which is actually where a lot of musicians are from. I believe Algernon's from there too.
Yeah. I got family in Allentown in like the Lehigh Valley.
Okay.
I had a very fun time going to visit grandparents in like 2010 and then going to see snowing in Lehigh Valley. Mm. Yeah. Were you a part of all that?
Not really. I think maybe a few years before me.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
Right?
Yeah.
I think. I'm 34. I don't know how old you are.
Yeah, I'm 36.
Okay. So yeah, maybe just a couple years behind.
Yeah.
But yeah, cool.
And are you in Los Angeles? Rachel from Pouty is on this show.
What up?
And you've been in Los Angeles for that entire time?
I have not. I have moved around quite a bit. I went from Philly to LA, but then I went back to Philly for a second. Uh-huh. Then I moved from Philly to Redlands, which is kind of like near Palm Springs.
Oh, okay.
And I was out there for a few years. I was there
What's
for like 3 or 4
like?
Years.
What's that vibe like?
Super weird. Yeah. the Inland Empire, they call it.
Oh.
Loved it.
Uh-huh.
Lots of like actual like some punks and a decent music vibe, but yeah, so random. And then when I got pregnant, I was like, we got to get out of here. So uh-huh. Then we moved to Ojai, and that's where we live right now. And we've been here
Ojai
about like
is...
OJAI, Ojai.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, we've been here like 3 years, almost 3.5 years. So
that's Ojai's like
been a minute.
That's
it's
where
near
you made
LA.
The
it's like an hour.
Yeah, that's where you made the St. Mary of the Moods video, right?
Correct. And
yeah, it's got a cool vibe up there. It's very rocky.
No, that was actually shot in Palm Springs.
Oh,
like
okay,
desert.
Cool. Yeah.
But there's a song about Ojai on that called "The Pink Moment."
Oh, I like that song.
And then I did coincidentally like end up moving here. So
yeah,
my music has actually been a little bit of like premonitions. Like I sung about a daughter, and now I have a daughter, and yeah, I wrote that song about Ojai, and now I'm in Ojai. Like,
mm-hmm.
There's been some weird things. I look back, I'm like, huh, that was weird.
Yeah, I was on to something there.
Yeah.
Well, it's nice. And then you kind of know if the things continue to match up, then I think that you're in the right place, making the right music.
Totally, and I do believe in this weird like there is like a muse and we like catch these songs and like if you don't catch it someone else will catch it and it's kind of about like just the timing of things and
see
so
I hear
I like
it's pretty
having,
new
like,
agey
hindsight.
Up there I hear it's pretty new agey
here.
Up there uh-huh
it's very pseudo spiritual
yeah sure
yeah a lot of people who think they're shamans yeah
uh-huh
it's kind
I love
of
that.
Like yeah, like a Father John Misty parody. There's actually some really cool musicians who live here, though, and like cool people. And I think the pandemic brought a lot of people from like Venice and Santa Monica, like the mm-hmm. west side of LA. They kind of just moved a little further. We're 20 minutes from Ventura, which is like the beach, and there's also a lot of cool music happening there. So
that's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good place to land. I mean, I will say I've lived in a bunch of different places and I think it makes it hard because people are like, Philly-based musician Pouty, LA-based musician Pouty. And I'm
That's
like,
right.
I'm not really...
When I emailed you, I was like, we could do it on yeah. at this time on the East Coast. And you're
right.
Like, no,
it's
I'm in Pacific
tricky.
Time, dude.
And now that I'm trying to like play shows and tour, people have asked me a few times recently to play in LA and I've had to say no because...
Oh, yeah.
My bandmates / the people I recorded with are all Philly based.
Yeah.
So now I'm having this tricky thing where I'm like, do I get a West Coast band? Do mm-hmm. I start all the tours on the East Coast?
Yeah.
Do I? Yeah. So I'm definitely in the logistics of my bi-coastal stuff is starting to catch up with me where I'm like, ooh. And I'm like a little out of touch with both LA and Philly scenes.
Yeah.
Which I honestly feel like isn't necessarily a problem because I feel like the music industry, the scene, the whole thing is like kind of collapsing anyway. So it's
you
like,
can kind of make it whatever
you want
to, I think.
Yeah.
So you grew up suburbs of Philly. Was there music in the house when you were growing up?
There was a lot of Bon Jovi.
Oh, hell yeah. There's a documentary coming out about John Bon Jovi. You know what? I'll say it right here for the record. Hot man.
I can't wait to watch that. I'm going to watch it.
His hair has always been so good.
My mom's obsessed with that whole scene, the 80s hair rock. My first concert was Bon Jovi when I was in utero. I was in my mom's womb at a Bon Jovi concert. So, yeah, definitely a lot of music. I would say a lot of my early memories of what my mom was into besides that were actually more references would be like, she loved to have a whole CD in the car. So I do feel like I was exposed to, you know, women like that early, and I'm grateful for that.
That's great.
Stuff like REM, My Name's Rachel. I have a brother named Eric. I have a brother named Matthew. So
that's very cute.
Like REM. Yeah.
Is that the order that you're in too? Or are you the oldest?
I am the oldest.
Yeah.
But she went RME.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, I feel like my mom has done a great job at exposing me to music. My dad, I have early memories of my dad with music. Taught me or coached me like soccer, coached my soccer team. Mm-hmm. And we would always blast Queen afterwards. Like, we are the champions. And yeah, so
it's a very fun,
some music around. Yeah.
Very fun time.
80s, 90s. Yeah.
Do you remember getting into music? Like, you know, I want to play, I want to make music. Or do you remember, like, who are your first favorite bands?
I took guitar lessons in, I think, starting in maybe end of middle school or high school. I think I was like 11 or 12, so eighth or ninth grade. And I definitely feel like I was really into covering like Green Day at that point.
Yeah.
Totally. Stuff like
What's
that.
Your favorite Green Day album? You were around for Dookie.
Dookie is kind of the only one I like know.
Yeah.
Sorry, but I love that record. Yeah.
I love it too.
Or like Michelle Branch. Like, I remember like covering her stuff. I was really into the fact that my teacher let me learn a new song every week, and like we did covers, and it felt really like not just like learning the chords and the scales. I feel like I kind of fudged my way through it and was like, can I just learn how to do, you know, basic three bars?
You wanted to write songs.
Chord songs. Yeah, yeah, I was into that. And I wasn't really into like mastering. Like, and now I'm like, I'm not really like a soloist. I'm a rhythm guitarist. So,
You've always got.
I love tone. Yeah. I'm way more less about the, you know, chops and more about the vibes.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why with this record, the only thing I'm doing on it performance-wise is vocals. And I hired my friends who I feel are like true professionals to execute the parts that I wrote, because that felt more important to me than me being like, I played on this record. I feel like I'm really trying to lean into my skill set, which feels more like songwriting-based, melody-based.
Yeah.
Lyrics, and
you use that
good.
You use
like,
your voice
feel...
really well too. I have to say,
yeah,
like,
I feel like that is my main instrument, and I feel like I've kind of stepped away from guitar, and I do hope to like get back into it a bit. But yeah, I feel like I got a little rusty with it, and I'm like, I can write stuff on it, but in terms of performance, I kind of am like, it's better to use your resources. And I feel like my community and my musical friendships and stuff are, I'm so lucky. I'm like, I know people who could do this.
Dude, well, you got the fucking Super Weeks playing the riff on Big Stage. Like, why wouldn't you if you had the chance?
Yeah. And so it feels good to start being like, what I'm into is creating sounds, tones, really insane lyrics, vocal delivery. And I feel like I've come a long way with that, where in the past I like insisted on like playing drums on stuff that I'm like, why'd I didn't need to do that, you know? And like,
well, if you're talking about like, whatever. Are we talking about Sled Ever or before Sled Ever?
I'm talking about Sled Ever.
Yeah.
We're talking about Sled Ever.
Well, the vibe was right for you to be playing drums on Sled Ever, because those songs are so, so fucking good, and they're so sloppy.
Thank you. Yes, I feel like I've finally come full circle with, like, I used to be so obsessed with the lo-fi and the sloppy, and now I'm like, that stuff works and there's a time and a place. But for Pouty, I want to do it more like polished pop, like higher production.
Yeah.
Yes, it's taken me a while to figure that out, even just like, this is my debut record, but I've done a few EPs and singles.
Yeah, dude, you've been doing this project for 10 years.
Yes, yes. And on all these cross-country back and forth moves and stuff, I'm like, yeah, there's been a lot of distractions.
Yeah.
And it feels good now to be at a place where I'm like, I know what I want things to sound like. I know what I want to be known for. Mm-hmm. And yeah. Yeah. And even like my band is primarily male. And I feel like I used to only want to play with other female musicians.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, yeah, things can like be a lot more in flow. And
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Slutever was like such a cool band at such a cool time too, when there were a lot of really cool bands with women, like bands like All Dogs, Cayetana, Little Big League, like that was fucking exciting. And there was some really, really great material coming out around that time. And I was so stoked on Slutever.
Writes a book or does a doc or something about like that early. Yeah, I feel like a lot of it was like, yeah, Ohio, Philly, New York, like kind of that zone. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Who do you remember like playing with like in those cities? Or like who were your local? Were you guys?
Honestly, to shout out my friends Mannequin Pussy, who are taking over the world right now. Mm-hmm. We played some of their first shows ever with them.
Yeah.
And they were a two-piece too. And so at that point. And so to see people that were like just two old friends up there doing a lot with a little, that was a big inspiration for us to be like, we did find people to finally eventually play with that we were like, yes, we're stoked on this. I think at first we were playing in Philly with a lot of like really scuzzy, grimy, all dude bands that we were like not really vibing with. And it just was like, you guys are all playing punk, you know? And so yeah, meeting Marissa from Mannequin Pussy was a big game changer. Who else? And we played with Colleen Green is where we met her.
I love Colleen Green.
She was playing bass for Colleen.
Yeah.
We were playing with Colleen. And yeah, that's how we all met. So yeah, people who are just doing a lot with a little, like a minimal setup.
Mm-hmm.
Just Colleen and that drum machine. Yeah, that was, I think stuff like that was hugely affirming for us to be like, we're on the right path with not trying to do too much right now.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
How did you meet Nicole?
We went to high school together.
Oh my God, I love it.
Yeah, we've known each other for so long. And we both went to just like a regular public high school. But it had a really great music program. So we were taking music theory classes and I was doing like, you know, choir and the guitar lessons. Yeah. So yeah. And then I went to Drexel for music industry and I'm a year older than Nicole. So she like kind of followed in my footsteps and came a year later. And so yeah. And then we were just in Philly together and just
like, I wish I could
remember more of the early stuff. I feel like it's like funny, you like live so many lives. I'm like, that was so long ago, but it wasn't, but it feels like I'm like, yeah. I mean, we were roommates. I remember we had this really cool apartment in South Philly where we had like a roof deck.
Mm-hmm.
So we had our little practice space right next to that. So we'd like leave the door open and like go outside and smoke joints and like could see the city.
Yeah.
So I feel like it was mostly just like literally like passing time, having fun, really casual, like weren't trying to do anything. Recorded our first thing, literally like the vocals like in the bathroom.
Yeah. Fucking sounds like so, it. I love that you did.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love how many tapes you were doing.
Yeah. We were very motivated for sure, and I think we had so many ideas, and it's funny that we yeah, we didn't really ever go that hard though. And
yeah.
Yeah. But now you look back and I'm like, why, what happened? You know, why didn't we? But it's like, at the time, and even like sometimes I'll look at my old journals, it's like at the time, like it wasn't a moment. It didn't feel like a moment. Mm-hmm. Now with hindsight, and honestly, like to shout out social media, like with TikTok, we got a lot of new momentum and putting our songs on Spotify. Like,
oh, wow.
That got us a whole new scene. I'm like, I think that that's, yeah, it was like definitely like retroactively more popular.
Uh-huh.
And it's, I think it's hard to understand that for like younger people. And they're like, why did you guys break up?
Yeah.
And we're like, well, it, you know what I'm saying? So. Yeah,
right. It's like, it's like, why aren't you as big as Girlpool?
Right. Which we took them on their first tour, mm-hmm. I will say, for uh-huh. the record, officially.
But it sounds like you were going at it at your own pace.
Yes. And we also like moved across the country together. We were living in Philly. I moved to LA first because, like I said, I was a year older.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually we lived in LA together. And yeah, I think that like that was a big leap to like take our band from like a small Philly DIY scene to LA.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say nothing really good came after that. Like, I feel like that kind of was sort of the,
I mean, you're so young, you're like all. Having to put, I'm sure, I'm, I don't know. Did you go out to LA with intentions of like, oh, we're going to do the band here? Or was the band just kind of part and parcel with your lives and like continuing to,
I think at that point it was way less about what we want to do for the band and way more like that post-college, like what am I doing with my life kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I knew I wanted to go to California. I did, my college internship at a label called Not Not Fun.
Okay. Yeah. And I know that label.
They're LA based. So I got to basically spend the summer in LA to work for them in college and for like credit.
Yeah.
For
class
credit.
That's great.
And that was when I was like, I want to live in California.
Mm-hmm.
So the seed was planted. I had to go back to finish. I had, you know, another year left of college, but I, in the back of my mind was like, when I graduate, I will go to LA. And actually, as I remember, I think I did wait for Nicole. And at that point she wanted to move to Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
So she ended up moving in with the Taco Cat homies.
Oh, okay.
And at that point I'm moving to LA.
Uh-huh.
So then I moved to LA with my friend Faye, who ended up starting junior high, which is like a really cool gallery out there.
Oh, wow. And you got your deal going too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So I feel like, and then I ended up joining Upset, learning how to play bass, doing like a whole new musical thing.
Yo, tell me about how that happened.
Yeah, that was cool because now I look back, I'm like, it's weird to see like the different trajectories and you're like, well, what would have happened if I stayed on that path? Like, what would have happened if we stayed in Philly and worked harder in the band? Who knows?
Right.
What would have happened if we both moved straight to LA? Who knows? But I look back with like zero regrets. I'm like, I got to end up meeting a whole new cool group of female musicians in LA, vibing with them. They were like, we need a bass player. I'm like, I've never touched a bass. They're like, perfect, be in the band. So
they just also happened to be people who were in Hole and the Vivian Girls, like,
true, which were like honestly probably like two of my biggest references at that point.
Yeah,
like,
I hear so much Hole in your music.
Totally. And I feel like I remember like watching Patty Schemmel's documentary at our house in Philly and being like so obsessed with it, and then to like only like a year or two later like be in a band with her. That's so crazy.
Wow.
To look back on. But yeah, I mean, they basically, I think we're just trying to do, I think at that moment a lot of us were trying to do stuff like post a project. Like, this was Allie's first thing post Vivian Girls.
Mm-hmm.
And we were all just like having fun with it. And yeah, it's hard. You're like, things were so much more naive and hopeful just a few years ago. Pre-COVID.
I know. But I mean,
Twitter, that's like pre all that, you know?
It's so nice though to be, I think, in a position, you know, like you're saying, where you live so many lives and then you see people who are older than you who have like really lived so many lives, to see them on another, just in another set of circumstances, taking perspective, having a good time. That just had to be, that had to put so much confidence into your spirit.
Totally. Really formative. If I look back, I'm like, that was the first band that like I was in that like had a booking agent, and like,
yeah,
we toured Australia, we went to New Zealand, like things felt a lot more legitimized in that band than Slut Ever, which is funny because now I think like Slut Ever does have this like little cult moment.
100%, like, oh, dude.
Yeah.
100%.
Like we weren't making any money or doing anything, yeah, you know, and so. But I think a lot of it is like, for me, like the branding of things and like the comedy, the humor that we like had with our Twitter, like we used to just be like, just silly. And I feel like I do try to take that like lightheartedness with me into Howdy and be like, I don't really care if anyone listens to this record. Like I really just did that record for myself. I did it with no label attached and I paid for it myself. And then eventually I figured out like Get Better was going to be a great fit for it. Yeah. And they're like, we want to press vinyl. And, but yeah, I feel like I've tried so hard to do so many things with music. And at this point I'm like, it's got to just be fun and for myself. And yeah, I feel like that's definitely like what I took away from my past projects is, yeah, with my friends, like it makes me nervous to try to get a West Coast band going because I'm like, I have to play with people that are my friends. Like, right. I've never done it.
Yeah, it's, you know, hard to, and that's hard to find, you know, you fitting together ideologically and like goals or, you know, and then to.
And like, plus like the logistics now of, you know, people having.
Oh, I know.
Like,
it just seems, it's like so impossible that.
Families and
yeah,
I know, yeah, it's overwhelming, but honestly at the end of the day, like being creative is like the only thing that I care about, so
when does
I'm just happy
when does Powdy start, when does, because Slut Ever I think is still a band when we're starting to see the first Powdy releases, right?
Yeah, I think it's probably like the logistics of we lived in different city.
Yeah.
I was in LA, Nicole was in Seattle. My partner and I at the time, their mom passed away and I was like, I'm gonna move back to Philly for a second. Mm-hmm. This is probably like 2016, I think.
Yeah.
And when I moved back to Philly, I'm like, it's only gonna be for a year. So I told all my Upset members, like, I'm coming back. You know, and it was a rough decision to make, but when I went back to Philly, I was so depressed and I'm like, why am I here? I miss California, you know? And I think that like the self-expression of just writing lyrics and that stuff's always just been like therapeutic to me. That's kind of like when I'm like, I gotta start a new solo project because I'm not playing any shows with Slut Ever or Upset right now, and like that's where all my happiness lies. So, yeah, it's like the necessity of like having to just do something I could execute without all my friends.
So that's Take Me to Honey Island.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that was Evan really like, yeah, engineering, playing drums, helping me with producing and yeah. And Kat Park played bass on that.
That's Kat Park of Amanda X.
Most of my recordings. Yeah.
Saw that she's on the new one too.
She's the best. She was like an early band that we used to play with, Band Name.
The
project. That was a big
I love
inspiration
that first
for
Band Name LP.
Whatever. Like they were having so much fun and they were loud and just silly and we were like, we're obsessed with you, and they kind of took us under their wing. Yeah, yeah. I feel like all the bands that were just a few years older than us were like obsessed with how silly and young we were. And we're kind of like mentor energy. And so, yeah, it's been amazing to like stay in contact with all of them and still use their skill set. And yeah,
that's so funny. Like,
yeah, I think that was it. Just me, Kat, and Evan on those recordings.
Yeah. Yeah.
I believe. Yeah.
It's funny just the way you were talking about the circumstances of your life. And I have written down, my favorite song on Take Me to Honey Island is Sad. It's the song Sad. Yes, that's exactly where
Literally.
You were. Oh my God.
That's really where I was. And I think also, like, I was not challenging myself with much besides just like proving to myself I could do something without whatever upset.
Right.
And it was just like, yeah, it was really like back to basics. And all those songs are mostly, I think, just like one word titles. And
mm-hmm. Yeah. I noted that too.
Yeah.
Yeah. From one Simple. Jawbreaker fan to another, I love a one word song.
I love simplicity.
Yes.
Honestly, I think we've all overthought a lot at this point.
And you said that you'd met Evan at the, at college.
I met him at the radio station at our college, uh-huh. which is WKDU. We were both DJs. I believe he was the music director. And so I just remember like early memories. I was just like being in the radio station, going through CDs, him like, you got to listen to this.
Yeah.
And yeah, he's always just been like a big brother kind of energy. And yeah, he's absolutely amazing. And
you know, he and I were born in the same hospital.
No.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
In New Jersey?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Crazy.
Summit Overlook. Yeah. We.
I love it.
He is just such a big brother. I'm older than him, but he's such a big brother.
Just like a perma big brother energy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I love him so much. I love those recordings too. Like Sad, all of the noise on that song is just so beautiful.
Yeah. I think that I, at that point, was just definitely leaning into like the lo-fi, the grunge. Yeah. The noise. Yeah. Again, like doing a lot with a little because it's simple. I also, now that we're talking, I'm like, I believe that Kyle Gilbride from Swearin
mm-hmm.
was the person who engineered this, actually. Like, when I'm like, who, he probably recorded Evan's guitar and stuff.
Yeah. Oh, I love that connection.
I almost completely forgot about that. But yeah, I believe that probably took us a while to do and was like in a couple. I think we did it in Kyle's basement, in Evan's studio. So mm-hmm. I'm sure that was a lot of, a lot more production than I can remember. But yeah. But yeah, I feel like the Philly scene has always just been like so crazy saturated with like heavy hitters. Like so many talented people. And I feel like that was like, I'm so glad I went to college for music in that city. Like, not necessarily my program, but just like the shows I was going to, the venues I was going to, like the people I met. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Highly, highly informative.
I loved the St. Mary of the Moods video that you made. Tell me about making that. That shit is beautiful. It's something I wish that more people were able to do. It just seems like it was such a special little project.
Totally. Yeah, I feel like this was me sort of trying to go for more of like an alter ego and a character and like creating a world, like world building. And this was before I moved to the desert, which is what I'm saying. Like, I ended up moving to that same zone mm-hmm. a couple years later and was just so into the desert the first time I went there and was like so visually inspired. And so me and one of my best friends, Emily, went to just like get some footage. And I realized I was kind of wanting to go for a visual album. And this is pre Lemonade. This is like pre Beyonce doing it.
You're ahead of everyone.
I will say I am. Yes. And I think that like, I thought it would be so cool. And looking back, I'm like, it was definitely ambitious of me to be like, watch a 12-minute video.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, or however long it, you know.
But also, it's like, it's just 12 minutes. You know, it's 12 minutes of your day.
Our attention spans, like, I pity them. Mm-hmm. They are not what they should be. But yeah, I think that I minored in film and video production. So I feel like visuals are huge for me. And yeah, so I think the first video she ever made, but she was a photographer. And again, with the like through lines, she now lives in Ojai with me, and her brother and my husband own a restaurant together.
Wow.
So she's been like a cool like collaborator friend, and she shot a lot of my like photo shoots for not only Pouty, but also like my Vintage Hustle. So yeah, she's just been like a friend and collaborator. And I think that was one of our first things we did together.
Did she do the Forgot About Me cover?
What she did was the video for Sad.
Oh, cool.
So yeah. So that was the first thing we did together. And then she did, she directed the video for Sad. My friend Kira shot it. But then she directed and shot the St. Mary the Moods.
Oh, wow.
But yeah. Now she's kind of on her own little model baker energy, and she does less like videos and photos. So we haven't really collabed lately, but she did take all my photos that I posted on Instagram of like me with the record for the first time. So
Hell yeah.
She's always helping me film little silly things. But yeah, again, though, like working with my friends is like all I've ever known. And I'm so glad that a lot of them are so talented, because yeah, that video, just me and her, like most of my recordings, like just me and the people I'm playing with.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I keep it super small, and I feel like we're getting so far removed from like the creation as fun.
Right.
Aspects of creating.
So many
stuff
of these things are just like you going on vacation and like making a record with the homies.
Yes. Yes. And I feel like nowadays, like you're on Instagram and like someone I've never heard of, they're like, here's my video. And there's like 58 people listed in the credits. And I'm just like, I don't know. I'm not that inspired by that. I'm not into like huge budgets and like, I don't know, let's make things as big as we can.
Yeah.
I feel like, yeah, simplicity, friendship, keeping it feeling like really safe and secure to me, like that's really important with me for the making of stuff. And yeah, I'm lucky that I haven't had to like hire professionals and hire people they don't know to work with. And my friends like understand my references visually.
Uh-huh.
You know,
I like how direct
musically.
You are with things like, you know, Bambina is so much about you being a mom. And like, I think that using that as a, you know, way to be creative and also like start a little discussion. It's just, that's what I think, you know, forms a special relationship with what you're listening to, is the ability to like start your mind in a different direction just because of that's what movies do to me. I don't know.
I hope that like the emotive experience like trumps the like technical, is what like the chops and the like, is it the best player, is it the best studio, is it the best DP? Like, I'm not chasing that route. I'm like way more like, I felt amazing creating it. I felt amazing working with the people around me. I poured every ounce of my emotion into it. I hope you feel different after you watch it, after you listen to it, like, which I do feel like is more cinematic than a lot of other people's approaches. I think these days everyone's so worried about like no one will care unless it's like grandiose and viral. My husband's always like, make something viral. I'm like, what are you talking about? You know, it's like, I don't, it's so not my speed. And so I don't know. I guess that's like 30s versus 20s, is like the confidence and being like, you know what I'm gonna do is just like what I do over here.
Yeah.
Keep doing it. Hopefully it pays off. Hopefully people are loyal to like how they feel when they listen to Pouty. Yeah.
So going into Forgot About Me, it's the first LP for this project that's been around for 10 years. And I guess
finally
like,
did it.
Yeah. what were you considering for just like, you know, making that form?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I feel like now that I have a record out, it's like really helping me with some of my imposter syndrome, yeah. Which I feel like, yeah, starting a band with like your friend from high school and you're both just like slacker, like stoners, like It's hard to be taken seriously. I wasn't trying to be taken seriously. And then somewhere along the way, I feel like I really did start chasing that like understanding, you know. I feel like I really do identify as someone who's like very misunderstood, and I think I'm like just begging for people to like get it. Mm-hmm. And I think without a record that people can like sit, listen to, yeah, feel something from, like a lot of people don't really understand like singles, videos, EPs, like they want a record. Mm-hmm. And that started becoming clear to me recently, and so I'm like, I'm going to pour all of my energy into this. So yeah, it's like a compilation of some of those lyrics. Some of those songs ideas are like a decade old.
Yeah.
Some of them are like fresh. Like we did it, you know, in the studio. So I feel like I'm showing a lot and it feels cohesive and complete. And yeah, I'm like really, really, really impressed that I was able to execute it, especially as like a new mom. I put out Bambina. I really wanted to put that out the first year, like after having a baby. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm just like, I'm so glad that I turned a corner on wanting to do music again. I very much so like stepped away from it.
Yeah.
And I think after St. Mary the Moods, I did two singles and they actually were with Get Better.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, like it was years before Bambina.
Right. So, right.
So yeah, I feel like, I don't know. I'll look back on this and be like, think, fuck, I did it. You know what I'm saying?
That's like, really cool.
So yeah, I feel like it was definitely like end of a chapter of like, okay, I'm not just like someone who likes to play music. Like I'm now like a musician.
Yeah.
Like, buy my record. Like it's at Amoeba in Hollywood, you know, like stuff like that. So yeah, I feel like, yeah.
What were some of the older songs on the record?
Underwear. I believe that was the same era as Take Me to Honey Island.
Yeah. Like,
2013, 14, 15. Like,
you got bigger problems now about.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. I know. That's the thing. Some of the stuff you look back, I'm like, what was I even upset about?
Yeah.
It's sad. Right. Like, what was I even sad about? Like, I'm just like chilling. I'm in college, you know? Like,
so I'm interested then in like what I've learned about the instruments on this record, because I love the guitar playing on Underwear. And it was one of those songs that I was like, I didn't know she could play like this, because she never does.
That's exactly what Evan said after. So that one we recorded one take to tape.
Uh-huh.
So that was recorded live in a room with me, Chris on guitar, and then we had Nathan on upright standing bass.
Yeah.
Just the three of us in the room. They recorded the whole take, you know. Which felt really cool. Like there was even like a big giant glass plate on the ceiling, like plate reverb, like old school analog effects.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Cause it was, and it's like vulnerable to like stand there by myself and like sing my heart out, you know, no guitar, no, like we're adding reverb, you know? And after I finished, Evan was like, I had no idea that you could do that. You know, yeah, like
that's so cool.
That's cool that you felt that too.
What kind of direction did you give Chris and was it Nathan playing bass? Like, did you give them like just here are the chords, or did you give them more of like a I want this type of thing?
I feel like I gotta shout out Chris's arrangement on that.
Yeah.
Like he definitely brought a whole new dimension into the guitar part itself. But that one I was really inspired by, like Julie London,
cool.
who I found via Billie Eilish. Mm-hmm. So like both of them kind of like old school, jazzy, croony, but like also bringing in like the like grunge lyricism of yeah. like smoking joints. And so I was trying to be like, let's make this as like raw and intimate as possible, but not necessarily like a ballad, like you know, which I guess it's a ballad, but you know what I'm saying, like,
but it's modern.
Not trying to make it cheesy,
right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's nerve-wracking when you strip stuff down, like, is this cheesy, is this corny, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And but I feel like Chris's arrangement like was amazing. Nathan, we just like met him, hey, come over, play this, leave. He was with us for like an hour or two, you know. Yeah. Like that's a true talented musician, you know. So yeah, and that was maybe probably my first experience of like someone in the studio who I don't know watching me sing, watching me perform, and I'm like, okay, I can do this, you know.
Right
So yeah, I feel like it's cool that like there are a few more people than just my friends on this. They ended up recruiting other people for steel guitar.
I was gonna say, anytime I hear
keyboard,
and I hear anytime yeah. I hear Mike play pedal steel, I'm excited, and I'm like, oh yes. I know I'm in Philly, and he probably yes. just like stopped by for a couple hours.
That I actually like once, so I went to Philly, I did a lot of hours in the studio on this, and then was like, I gotta go back home.
Yeah.
You know, and Evan and Chris really put in a lot of like overtime.
Hell yeah.
And that was when they were like, we're gonna bring in someone for keys, we're gonna bring in someone for, you know. And so yeah, I sadly like I wasn't even there at those sessions, but yeah, I wonder how it went. But
I love the 1-2 that you got on this record. I love a fucking 1-2 punch to open
yep.
it, and
yep.
salty.
That's
and
my
big
boy
stage.
Jarrett Nathan. Yep.
Fuck yes.
Yes.
Big stage has such a great riff.
And the drums. Yes. Yes. I feel like Big Stage is like one of those songs that you're like almost like, I can't believe I'm gonna write a song about this and put this out.
Yeah.
And it's the song that's performed the best that wasn't a single, like post the release, that I'm like, oh, people are grooving on Big Stage. Like, yeah. I feel like we were going for like a arena rock energy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, like rock anthem, and again, like something that could maybe be cheesy, but yeah, a lot of people are like, your voice sounds the best on that. So yeah, people like that one.
Yo,
and
you've
it's
got
just about, honestly,
such great layering on this. Continue with what you're saying,
you.
But
I was just going to say, it's just about like, you know, like watching your friends in the scene, they're all playing, and like, you're
yeah.
kind of like, I want to do it. Should I give up? Do I keep going? And then you're like, you know what? Actually, I really want to do this, and I'm going to keep going, and like,
yeah,
I want to do it. Yeah.
I wrote down
then,
like the second
that,
verse from that. I really, really like the earnestness of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like admitting that kind of stuff out loud, I think has like been really hard for me. And I'm like, you know what? That's the kind of thing like people do relate to when you're like the most authentic you,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, I don't really care if you guys think I'm corny for this.
Yeah. I think because you, oh God, that line about having something magical to say, like the, you know, what you kind of hinted at it earlier about people getting a little bit more into the ether over the past few years, but like music as magic is something that I've very wholly subscribed to over the past few years. And
oh, yeah.
I don't know. I feel that
yeah.
like, I feel
transformative.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and like, again, like feeling different afterwards, like that's like a spell, like,
yeah.
Yeah. And also like that instant connect, like I felt like, I thought you were from Philly when I looked at all the people you were interviewing.
Uh-huh.
Like, oh, you interviewed all my Philly friends,
yeah.
you know, it's like kindred spirit, you know, like we didn't have to say anything. I already knew that you were going to be of my people,
yeah.
you know, and
yeah.
of my kind, like, because I could tell that you have the same taste in music as me. Like, that is magical. That is special. That is, like, intangible. Like,
mm-hmm.
supernatural. Are you into Ariana Grande? She has a new song out called Supernatural that I really like.
Oh, yeah? I'll have to listen to it.
Yeah. I honestly think her new record is really good.
Yeah. I saw her at the Oscars.
Yeah. Yes.
Dude,
I love pop music. I'm not really like, I couldn't name you one single Taylor Swift song. Like, I'm not a Swiftie, but I love the pop girlies. I love Ariana. I love like Charlie XCX. Like, I love like,
I'm hearing more of it like at the gym. I've been working out this summer or this winter. Because that's what you have to do if you don't live in California.
For the summer bod.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I got to get my pay-per-view tan going. I love the opening chords on Virgos. That's and also I have a Virgo moon. My partner has a Virgo moon. We're very proud of that. But yeah, dude, that song, talk about arena rock hit.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, I feel like, again, like talking about like that intangible, like astrology, cosmic stuff, like can be cheesy or could be also like empowering. I find it like really affirming to be like, oh, that's like my Virgo shit, you know? And I love like categorizing things and like,
exactly.
Yeah. I feel like, yeah. So yeah. But I like the idea of like, it's not like a new age song. Like it's a rocker. So
with a killer bridge.
Like juxtaposing like what could be like cheesy, cosmic, new agey language, but with that like power pop grungy energy, like that is very me. That is very like who I am. Yeah.
Fuck yeah. Where'd that bridge come from? That shit is so good.
Like the ending part, like the punachi and that part.
Just where you like change the tempo after it's after the second chorus. Yeah. You don't call that a bridge?
I don't know what that is. I guess that is a bridge. Yeah. Honestly, the song Bridge Burner, like we had a lot of tension in the studio about bridges. Like, I think sometimes I'm like, you don't need one. Mm-hmm. And Evan was very much like, every song needs a bridge. And I'm like, burn those bridges. Like, get those out of here. Like, we like got into a couple little like scuttles about bridges. So I don't know. I can't remember the Virgo one. Like, how that happened.
That's so funny.
yeah it's really funny.
Your vocal layering on this thing is fucking awesome. Like, I'm loving all these high harmonies.
Thank you. We did all the vocal recordings we did in LA. At King Size Studios.
Cool.
I think Evan's friends Joyce Manor might have a room in there.
Okay.
Or they've recorded in there.
Yeah.
I got a connection through someone else to get some studio time there. But what's so funny is like Evan flew from Philly to LA. We were doing the vocals there. He got food poisoning from some street meat.
Oh.
And so we had like one day in the studio and like he was like food poisoning. The whole time.
No.
So the fact that those vocals are even there felt miraculous.
Yeah,
like,
wow.
That was magic.
Uh-huh.
And so the fact that, like, yeah. So I'm glad that they ended up being. I was like, oh no, is this going to be like a. Like, this is like, the vocals are what I care about.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
I'm like,
yeah.
Is this going to be, you know, but.
Do you have that layering together in your head when you're going in there? Or are you.
Pretty much. Like, I'm always into, like, harmonies.
Yeah,
and
I love it.
My daughter is really into, like, Moana and Frozen, all the, like, Disney songs. I'm always trying to sing with her. She's like, Mom, don't bop. Like, I'm always trying to, like, add, like, another, like, harmony. Yeah. Melodies, harmonies. That's, I feel like, put me in a room, I could do that all day.
Yeah. Oh, man. TV on TV is such a great song, too. And I just, like...
Thank you.
I love the tradition of just songs about California, and
yes.
It's nice to just see that, like, oh, that's been in you for years and years and years.
No. Totally. And also just like that, like, yeah, like the spirituality of it. Like, I feel like what California represents for me, like, is like freedom and like escape out west. Yeah. Like, huge inspiration for me, like both just like the nature, the healing, the distance from what I grew up with in Philly. And
yeah,
it's like the polar opposite. And yeah, it's represented like so much for me throughout the years. And yeah, but then also like just like the classic like inspo of like everyone loves Cali. Yeah, so
Records out now on Get Better. I love that that just happened.
Yes. Honestly, that was amazing. I was talking to Alex about helping me to pitch it to other labels.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, wait a second. Hold on. should we do it with Get Better? And I was like, yes. And they told me it's one of the favorite records they've ever put out on their label. And they've been a label for a minute. So yeah, it meant a lot to me when Alex said that. So, and it feels good right now at this moment to be as like anti-corporate as ever. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad to work with a label that like not only stands for something, but like, you know, begs others and challenges others to do the same. And
yeah,
I don't know. I feel like the bigger you get, you do start to sort of like compromise and sacrifice, like, either your morals,
just part of
or
it. Yeah,
mm-hmm. You know, and so yeah, I count myself really lucky that I've not had to do that and have not had to like worry about who's like funding my project or
yeah.
So very grateful.
Well, as a longtime Slut Ever fan, it's so cool to hear you make an LP. And yes, it was great talking to you, dude. Thanks for coming on the pod.
This is great. This is a great chat. I'm glad that we could connect and thank you for having me. This is the first podcast I've ever done. So I was so excited that I could finally check that off my list.
Yes. All right. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Tim.